下。Hey, hello, welcome to Unbought and Unbossed, Canadian political news and views. This is show number 123. Today is May the 27th, 2009. Unbought and Unbossed is an independent voice dedicated to presenting and discussing the social and political issues most relevant to Canadian citizens. This show contends that 9/11 is Canada's single most important issue because the self-inflicted attacks of 9/11 are being used as the justification for the current overthrow of our democratic and sovereign nationhood, turning Canada into a corporate-driven plutocracy. The official story of the 9/11 terror attacks and the ensuing war of terror are deeply troubling and are at the forefront of this radio program. I strongly encourage listeners to question what you think you know about today's world events and to analyze the motives behind our traditional news sources. Each week, new segments of Unbought and Unbossed offer further evidence for these incredible claims, which are either omitted or distorted by the mainstream corporate media. Turn your televisions off. You are being lied to and conditioned to accept this madness as our inevitable future. We must work to return the future of the human race to its rightful owners. That's you. Our ignore it and maybe it will go away on its own mentality is killing us. It has to end now. It is high time to wake up and to educate, to learn to work together, and to find the courage to act on our love for one another. That's the L word. Our every freedom is at stake in this battle for truth and accountability. The prize is nothing less than the health of our collective human soul. The revolution has begun. I suggest you find your role. Right, Bruce. That's right. Thank you. Bruce Coburn, as always, actions speak louder.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
That guitar man right there is DJ Shadow. It's going to be followed by that fiddle man, Ashley McIsaac. What do we have for you today? Show number 123. I don't have an interview. First time in a long time. I'm going to get back to doing a little bit of reading. And it's funny, the last show, Ray of the Sense of Justice, was talking about Obama. And son of a gun, I did not get a chance to listen to the whole thing. I was in transit, and I'd like to have heard more of that. I have a feeling that they weren't conspiratorial theorists the way we are. Well, let's find out. I am going to be talking about Obama. That is an interesting thing. So, I have a feeling this is not going to be a repeat of the first show. The first piece I'm going to be reading from is a new one from David Icke. It's a short piece called Neutralized and Obamatized. Where the hell is the anti-war movement? Big problems, big problems. An example he uses is Code Pink, which is a anti-war group in the States. They were getting thousands and thousands at their protest rallies back in the Bush days. The Obama days, well, looks like everything is just fine. No one's coming out for the peace rallies. That's right. It was a no-show. Pretty frightening, buddy. Okay, another piece, an audio piece. We're going to be listening to Stuart Rhodes. He is the founder and the spokesperson of Oath Keepers. And Oath Keepers are retired as well as current, either military persons, veterans, which I guess that means retired, and peace officers, who will honor their oaths to defend the Constitution. They will not just follow orders. They will stand for liberty and will save the Republic. So help us God. Their motto is, not on our watch. So this is a pretty powerful piece. This Stuart Rhodes, good speaker. So good for them. They are at www.oath/keepers.blogspot if you want to check them out. Okay, another piece on Obama. This article was published at globalresearch.ca, rather well-known Canadian website, known about the world. It is called America's Nightmare, the Obama Dystopia, Manipulation, Propaganda, Imagery, and PR Wizardry. That is by Andrew Hughes, published just a couple days ago, May 23rd, 2009. So two pieces on Obama. Another new audio piece here. This is another U.S.-themed piece. But well, with the joining of this North American Union, Canada is, well, anytime the States military wants to come in here, they don't have to ask. That's just the way it is. So when I'm talking about the States, I'm talking about us as well, unfortunately. This audio piece actually comes to us. It's a news piece from WRAL, Channel 5. I'm not too sure what state they're from, but the story they're covering is that the U.S. is using the Patriot Act against its own citizens. Yeah. So I do believe that this is the end of due process. Our legal system is quite different than what we think it is, and secrecy is king here. You will be taken away, and they don't really have to say too much other than you're a suspected terrorist, and that case is closed. Okay, here comes Ashley. So let's move on to another audio piece. Daniel Estulin, I've read from him in the past, he wrote the book The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, and that looks at the three big secret society groups, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, and the Council on Foreign Relations. Those seem to be the three biggest. Well, the Bilderberg yearly meeting went down earlier this month near Athens, Greece. And this is a 10-minute segment. Daniel Estulin was on the CorbettReport.com. This is a fine, fine interview. Well done to the Corbett people. If you want to learn more about Daniel Estulin, visit DanielEstulin.com. Again, I should tell you that I archive these shows. I have a website as well where you can get links to most everything that you're going to be hearing about today, as well as you can listen to past shows if you missed them. So going along with the Bilderberg thing, something else happened earlier this month. There was a secret meeting of the world's richest people. This was in New York. Yeah, let's see, who were some of the people there? Buffett, Gates, Rockefeller, Turner, Winfrey as in Oprah, Bloomberg, Soros, and of course there was a complete media blackout at this little conference. This comes to us from IrishCentral.com. May 18th, 2009. So, that, I've got a couple other little things in and about that I didn't read, so that's just part of what you're going to hear tonight on the Unbought and Unbossed show. Of course, it's on CHLY 101.7 FM from downtown Nanaimo, Central Vancouver Island. Let me see, I have an announcement here. This is leading up to a all-day speaking event. So, here we are. Announcement. The New World Order is a phrase that has been bounced around for several decades. True to form, the world elites use catchy, disarming phrases. In reality, this is the framework for the most insidious world dictatorship that has ever been conceived, masterminded and implemented by a handful of the super rich and super powerful elites. These elites can be compared to the head of one octopus with a covert agenda apparatus with many long arms that reach into and control every aspect of our governments, our laws, our infrastructures, and increasingly our private daily lives. These topics and more will be discussed in a full-day seminar called Connecting the Dots. It is sponsored by the Knowledge Exchange. When is this? June 13th. That's coming up 9:30 to 4:30, so that is an all-day event. It's on Carey Street in New Westminster, B.C. The principal speaker will be Inga Hanley. She was on this show not too long ago. Let me see, it was show number 113. She is a firecracker grandma who is doing tremendous research into the New World Order. And I suggest, if you can make it, I suggest you do that. They do want you to call ahead if you're interested. So if this is something that you want to take in, and then if you're in the greater Vancouver area, for pre-registration, call this number, 604, that's the area code, 437-6286. I'll repeat that, 604-437-6286. So Inga Hanley will be the keynote speaker there, as well as others who are not listed. I have a quote. I've been starting off the last couple shows with different quotes, and, well, I've got a different one again. This comes to us from Robert F. Kennedy, and he was trying to make some big changes in the U.S. administration, and, well, he fell on a bullet, didn't he? He was assassinated, and that's a very frustrating thing, and maybe we can tie this into the Obama thing again. I don't have any faith that Obama is going to be any more than a puppet. We've got more troops involved. We meaning the American Empire. I just don't see anything good coming out of Obama. But Kennedy, that was a different story. Listen to this quote. "Few are willing to brave the disapproval of their fellows, the censure of their colleagues, the wrath of their society. Moral courage is a rarer commodity than bravery in battle or great intelligence. Yet it is the one essential, vital quality for those who seek to change a world that yields most painful to change. Each time a person stands up for an idea or acts to improve the lot of others, or strikes out against injustice, he and she sends forth a tiny ripple of hope, crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring. These ripples build a current that can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance." Those are nice thoughts. I'm not too sure I believe them. I try to pretend that I'm an optimist. And, oh, shit, do I ever want to be, but I don't know. Let's just see what happens. I do have a short editorial here, and I don't often criticize other persons in independent media, but I'm going to give them a little kick in the behind right now. Actually, more so than this, I've had quite a few persons fairly recently, certainly in the past, but it still happens fairly often, and they don't think I'm fairly balanced enough. I've written this little thing. Well, just pretend I didn't write it, and it's all off the top of my head, and it'll sound pretty good, right? So this show, my show, the Unbought and Unbossed show, does not attempt to give equal time to the scripted television version of modern history, which is found in the official propaganda from our corporations and governments. If you get the majority of your political information from the television and daily newspapers, like most of us do, many of the ideas discussed on this show will indeed seem foreign to you. I strongly recommend that you do some independent research of your own. I suggest that you start with the authors, lecturers, and documentarians heard on this show. I promise you, though, it will be much more work than changing the channel on your remote control. The choice is yours. I also want to add to this editorial my displeasure with other independent news gatherers, not only at this station, but elsewhere, who choose to keep their discussions within the narrow parameters set by the so-called left gatekeepers. Those who refuse to include in their discussions the topics of money creation, for example, and, of course, the numerous and easily provable lies of the official story into what happened on 9/11. I am too often baffled by these attempts to make sense out of contemporary history from their grossly limited perspectives. And that's just the way it is. For me, that's just the way it is. So, I don't know if that pisses you off or you want to have something to say about that. Now would be the time. You can call in at 7, What are we at? Seven. No, that's not. It's about to give my home phone number. Don't call that one. Area code 250-740-1017. That's the in studio number. Where are we going to go to now? I think I've covered just about everything. Let's move on to the weather update, shall we? I don't see any lights of flashing. I don't know. Like, you know, a topic of Obama. I really have a hard time if you don't talk about the different secret societies that appear to be running America's foreign policy and financial centers. You know, President Eisenhower many years ago warned about the military-industrial complex. Not that he envisioned it, but that it was there. And if we're not careful, they're going to be controlling things. And they are. Yeah, there's just too much history left out of the discussion on television. And I really feel that I'd be limiting myself if I stayed within there. And, you know, a good example of this, if I'm talking to any person right now, you're welcome to call in. If you have looked into 9/11 and you think I'm full of shit and the official story is the goods, please call in. I've got lots of questions that I haven't had answered, and it sounds like you might have answers. But you know what? The problem is, in 123 shows, no one has called in. Because if you do, you quickly find out the story doesn't wash from any angle. Any angle. So, you know, come on. We've really got to step up our discussion. Oh, nice. There's a phone call. Very good. Hi, caller. Welcome to Unbought and Unbossed.
Hi, Raymond.
Hi, Anna.
Yeah.
Hey, you're probably on my side. I want someone that thinks I'm full of shit.
Well, you know what?
No.
I do think you're full of shit.
Thank you. Thank you. What have I said that is off the mark?
When you were talking about the ripples in the stream.
Okay.
You know, I think that that is a real viable thing, man.
That was Kennedy's quote.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah. No, I really think that's powerful.
Oh.
You know, like people at the grassroots, man, who would do their thing. Like just right here on Gabriola when we're doing our thing, man.
Okay.
We got the Vancouver Island Health Authority to change their minds about the farm fresh eggs.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I'm wondering, I've been thinking a lot about this the last couple of days, and, you know, I'm kind of also interested in this 2012 thing, and perhaps there might be a global consciousness shift, and I'm really hoping that that is correct, and that the little people doing the little things will create a huge dramatic change.
I think so. I mean, you can't take our power away from us. Our power's already been being taken away from us by the people, the big Bilderberger group and all that stuff, right?
Okay.
You know, by the people at the top, right?
Yeah.
Who want to be in charge, right? So, you know, we have to give ourselves a sense of who we are and the power that we do have. I mean, that's why these guys are so paranoid and building all these prisons and trying to talk up the terror, you know, America's under threat because of terror and we have to fight all these people over there in Afghanistan, you know, terror and the safety of the Americas and the security of the nation, all this crapola.
Yeah.
You know, who they really are afraid of is the people in their own homeland, man. You know, the people who are waking up and seeing what's going on,
mm-hmm.
You know, and they're using all this other stuff to say, like, you know, this could happen to you if you're not careful,
yeah.
Kind of thing,
yeah.
You know. And we have a lot of power, you know, and we need to use our power. That's the thing.
Yeah.
We need to use our power to regain the earth, man. Like, these people are fucking destroying the earth, you know. It's just terrible what's going on.
Yes.
I'm so bogged, you know. Every day I get, like Gordon Campbell winning the election. Like, what the hell is that about?
Yeah.
You know,
very like frustrating.
I can't understand this.
No one went out to vote.
I cannot understand this, man. He is destroying British Columbia.
No
he
one went out to vote.
Destroying our province.
No man. One went out to vote, Anna.
Well, and why not? Like you, if you even didn't believe in any of these people, You know what I mean? If you, oh well, they're all the same. It's all horrible. Whatever the hell. But at least you could stop Gordon Campbell.
Yeah.
At least you could go out there and vote against Gordon Campbell.
You would think that'd be,
you know,
have been really easy. And I'm so sad that didn't happen.
Exactly, and so am I. Mm. You know, because now he's got the leverage to do us in, basically. To do us in.
Well, he's going
to
continue to privatize everything that used to be.
Oh man, I just heard a show on discussion on your I'll say rival in a kind of a joking way, but you know, the other alternative radio station out of Vancouver, Co-op Radio in Vancouver, right?
Sure.
102.7, and it was all about these native people, and they were featured on the show. Right, with Charles Boylan, and they were talking about the egregious stuff that's going on in their territory, mm-hmm. you know, and about the rivers and the mining and the logging and all that stuff that's just decimating, you know, their people, not even able to, you know, support themselves or live off the land anymore,
yep.
because it's becoming so polluted, and they said many times, you know, it's in your own interests, people, you know, the white people, the settler population, to stand with us, because, you know, you're going to be affected too,
yeah.
by all this stuff that's going on, you know.
I agree.
And that's what Rafe Mayer was saying, and all these other people, you know, we have to stand against this, man.
Mm-hmm.
We really do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we can't just say, oh, we don't have any power, or it's always been this way, or whatever the hell like that, you know. No, it's not always been this way. The times are really egregious right now. The times are really, really stressed out right now. Look at what's happening on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all these people, man. They're making millions of dollars every year. They're still getting their freaking bonuses,
yeah.
even though they've, you know,
yep.
plunged their companies into dire debts and shit like that. You know, and all this, and they're getting government bailouts.
Yeah.
Okay.
I see this whole financial issue as one that has been contrived. That
oh,
has
it
been
is.
Created
it is.
In the most senior boardrooms on the planet, and it is the consolidation of money and power.
Yeah,
the big guys.
It's totally. It's always been about that. That's their whole game is that. Look at what's happening in the United States. The United States is falling apart, man.
Yeah.
Like California is going down the tubes.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. The level of homelessness. I mean, there's tent cities everywhere.
Yeah.
Good. The level of unemployment, the level of they can't pay for services, you know, it's just falling apart. And as
so
I was talking
was
to a friend of mine,
you want to maintain, stay positive and optimistic, and that your bottom line is that we can change this. Is that?
Oh yeah. We have to just wake up and say, you know, enough of this stuff, man. You know, we have to take back our power.
Okay.
Because these people won't stop until they enslave us. You know, and thwart our destiny. Our destiny is to be truly human, to be enjoying the fruits of this earth,
yeah.
and being able to provide for our children, and being able to be happy and fulfilled as human beings, and even to be divine beings,
yes.
as far as I'm concerned,
yep.
you know, upon this planet, living in joy and wonder and grace and love and beauty
yeah.
all around us. And these people are seriously trying to take that all away from us,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
by all their wars, which are unnecessary. All the wars are unnecessary.
I agree.
You know, and all their shenanigans,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, stay positive, man. And every single person that wakes up and listens, maybe someone is listening to me right now. And
I hope
if you can
a lot
wake
of people
up,
listening right now.
Yeah, and if you can wake up, you know, and take back your power and stand up for what's right. Hey, man, that's
yeah.
another person to join our cause, man. And let's take back our power. Let's live on this earth the way we were meant to be.
I like
you
it.
Know.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Anna.
Good show.
Be well.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Very nice, Anna Leather of Gabriola. An informed and very caring person, and she's able to appears to maintain that optimistic side a little bit better than I can. However, I'm going to be playing a song out right after the weather update here, and this one makes my body want to move. And, you know, for me, dancing is a way to godliness, I suppose. And I also think it might be one of the best ways to defeat the New World Order. Yes, indeed, by dancing and just putting positive thought out there. And, oh, boy, I want to believe it, so I'm saying it. First off, let's get to the Little Piggy song and the weather update. So we have got a fantastic week coming up. Right on, right on. Let's see, today I went up, studied for the show up at Westwood. Yesterday I was down at the Nanaimo River. And, yeah, getting outdoors more, and that feeling is very nice. And, yeah, something about nature kind of puts me back at ease and gives me, I don't know, renewed energy, something groovy like that. And also dancing does. I mentioned that once before. I'm going to take us to a song, but not yet. I've got to say, I've got one other business sponsor that I'm going to mention. Okay, friends, that has been the weather update. And now we're going to go to a song. When I come back, we're going to hear from a little bit of David Icke, and that will be followed by Stuart Rhodes, the spokesperson of the Oath Keepers. Okay, well, thanks for tuning in and putting up with my funny mood tonight. But everything's going to be just okay. Or is it just all right, or just fine, or just great? It's going to be just something, isn't it? Okay, then. Let's move on to this next track. See you in a minute. Okay, let's move on. I'm going to take a look at a short piece from David Icke. This is dated May 1609. Short piece. It's called Neutralized and Obamatized. Where the hell is the anti-war movement? Okay, David Icke. What can I say about David Icke? He's an author, lecturer, free thinker. I mean, if you think 9/11 being an inside job is going a little too far, well, David Icke is quite a bit too far. He's a hell of a researcher, though, and I've played audio clips of his and read from a couple of his books that I have. So let's hope you know who he is. Anyways, let's move into this piece. He says, Obama is not only Mr. Fake Change, Mr. Fake Hope, and Mr. Fake Yes We Can. He's also Mr. Untouchable. Most of the anti-war left bought the Obama propaganda down to the smallest syllable, and they are either getting deeply embarrassed by now or resorting to cognitive dissonance to kid themselves they were right. Cognitive dissonance is that filter in the head that explains away contradictions to confirm the original belief. It's a powerful form of lying to yourself, so powerful, in fact, that you don't know when you're doing it. We must take our freedoms away to protect our liberties is a classic example of cognitive dissonance in action. And that quote was, we must take our freedoms away to protect our liberties. They're the same thing, folks. It doesn't work that way. Carrying on, most of the left have convinced themselves that Obama is anti-war, a man of peace, and so there is no need for the campaigns of protest that we saw under Bush. This is patent nonsense. Obama is not anti-war at all. And then he goes into that Code Pink example about the war protests. And as an example of the death of the peace movement due to Obama being in the White House. Very frustrating. So because, we're talking about Obama here, of course, because his very first act in office was to sanction U.S. bombing raids in Pakistan, and you are going to see him, as well as his masters through him, increase American military action in that country that will kill and maim still more civilians. And look at Afghanistan. By the end of this year, the United States will have more than 68,000 troops deployed there, nearly double the number at the end of the Bush presidency. Yes, indeed, he is not bringing the soldiers home like he earlier promised. That got him elected? Not at all. really important. Don't listen to the words. Pay attention to the actions. Because right now I've got both my hands up and I'm making some crazy duck signs with the one, but really my other hand is reaching into your back pocket. And that's the thing. It's bait and switch. You look over here, listen to what I'm saying, and I'm going to be doing something in the background, aren't I? That's what Obama is about. That is his, that's his trick. He's been taught. He's been tutored how to do that. I guarantee you that. Okay, so that was a very short piece, and it is just kind of a warm-up to the more detailed piece on the Obama administration by Andrew Hughes. And the title of that one is America's Nightmare, the Obama Dystopia. So, there we are. And son of a gun, I really wish that I had heard that those two Americans talking about Obama tonight. The little bit that I did hear, they started off by saying all the wonderful things he said. Yeah, yeah, and boy, oh boy, I stood up in my living room and I was just, oh man, I wish I could have called in. But I didn't need to call in because I've got my own show here, and well, you can call in. That's what you can do. Okay, so that was a real quick look from David Icke. Real concern that the peace movement has disappeared now that we have Obama the Savior in the White House. Moving on, and we will be returning to Obama. Right now, I want to play an audio clip. The speaker will be Stuart Rhodes, and he is the founder and spokesperson of Oath Keepers. They are military veterans, police officers, firefighters, and so on, who have have made an oath to defend the Constitution and to not follow orders, but to follow the big order, the American Constitution. And he's a pretty good speaker, and I think you're going to enjoy this piece. So that's what we're going to get to. After that, then we'll return to Obama and look at the Obama dystopia. So there we are. This is Stuart Rhodes with the Oath Keepers.
The founder and the leader of Oath Keepers, please welcome Stuart Rhodes. Good afternoon.
Hoorah!
Hoorah! Hoorah! Hoorah! I'm Stuart Rhodes. I'm the founder of Oath Keepers. I serve as a paratrooper in the U.S. Army. Well, you're an easy crowd, I tell you. And after my service, I served like the rest of you who served. I didn't do it for a job. I did it because I felt an obligation to serve my country. Well, I think a long story short, after that, I went to college, worked in Congressman Ron Paul's office. Okay, now, if you'll forgive me, I'll let you know I went to Yale Law School. I hope you won't hold that against me. But now, I'll tell you something about Yale Law School. One thing I will say is that during the presidency of George Bush, there was probably more respect for the Constitution at Yale than at any other time in its history. And I won an award for best paper on the Bill of Rights because I was outspoken in criticizing what I saw as unconstitutional and very dangerous expansions of executive power from the Bush administration. And that's one thing I always make very, very clear, is that Oath Keepers is a nonpartisan association of current serving military, current serving police officers, veterans, and firefighters and other emergency personnel. When we say nonpartisan, we mean it.
Hey!
I don't care whether they're a Democrat or a Republican. If they violate their oath, which they all took to support and defend the Constitution, I will call them on it. And you should too. Now, I want to ask a question here. But first of all, everyone here who has taken an oath to support and defend the Constitution, please stand up and raise your right hand in the air. Put your right hand up and show an oath. Now, If your oath expired, please put your hand down. Did your oath expire?
No!
It did not. There's no expiration date on that oath.
Hey!
It is for life. You put your hand back down for a minute there. Now, I do have some bad news for you folks, though. Being an attorney, I did some research last night, and it turns out that you don't have a right to disobey unlawful orders. You do not have a right to do that. You have a duty to disobey unlawful orders. It's a duty. And when you swore that oath, however long it's been, whether it's been 5 years, 2 months, 20 years, whatever it was, when you swore that oath, that is where you lost the option to not stand. You lost the option to duck out and hide or be afraid to speak out. Whatever comes, you lost that option then. That's where your choice was made. Now, all you have left to do is your duty. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I want to tell you a couple things. We stress in Oath Keepers, military, current serving, and law enforcement for a reason. Because we know that if a day should come in this country when a full-blown dictatorship would come, or tyranny, from the left or from the right, we know that it can only happen if those men, our brothers in arms, go along and comply with unconstitutional and unlawful orders. That's why we focus on them. And our mission is very simple. It's to reach out to everyone who's taken an oath, to remind them of their oath and what they swore an oath to defend, and then to steal their resolve and buck them up to do what's right and to keep their oath. Now, why? Why is the oath to the Constitution? As you've already heard from the learned scholar Vieira, the constitutional republic that the Constitution put in place is meant to protect your natural rights, rights that predate any government. Where do your rights come from? Do they come from government?
No,
they do not. When the men stood here on April 19, 1775, there was no Second Amendment, nor was there a First, nor a Third, Fourth, Fifth, or any of the rest of them. They understood that they had natural rights, and even though the British courts had upheld and sustained every abuse of their rights that they had asserted over 15 years of demonstrating, remonstrating, sending petitions, and filing court cases. Every one of those times, the British courts rubber stamped what was done by the King and by Parliament. Did they accept that as the final decision? That was not the end of the argument. And the continuation of the argument was right here on the screen. They fought back, but not just because they were the regulars were attempting to disarm them. They fought back in defense of all their other natural rights and all of the procedural protections that Englishmen had fought and died for to give them the ability to preserve those natural rights, correct? That's right. Just as we here today benefit from their sacrifice and their struggle, they learn the lessons, the hard lessons they learn are enshrined in our Bill of Rights, which are meant to protect and secure our natural rights. And he was out tilling his field, and he saw the regulars coming down the road. And then to the surprise of his family, he walked inside his home and he strapped on two dueling pistols that he had had as prizes from the war against the French, two French dueling pistols. He strapped on a captured French sword that he had, grabbed his musket, and went out and made war one last time at the age of 80. He ambushed the regulars at close range, fired 5 shots, killed 3 regulars, and in the middle of his reloading, they charged with bayonets. He drew his sword and fought the sword against bayonet. He was shot in the face, stabbed 16 times with bayonets, and left for dead. And his family went out to gather his body up in mourning. when they got there, to their amazement, they realized he was still alive. And not only was he still alive, he was trying to reload. He was trying to reload and put a party shot at that column in the distance. So it was leaving away. Now, that man lived to be 98 years old, with 18 more years. Now, he's a good example of why, if you ever do get in a fight, don't ever think that you're done just because you get shot once. You keep going, okay? So, but the main point is that he understood the reality and the fact that once you decide to be the defender of the rights of this, of these people, that never expires. He was an oath keeper, right?
Yes.
Yep.
And he understood the big picture. When he was asked later why he fought that day, he said he fought because he did not want his children and grandchildren to be subjects of a distant king. He wanted them to be free. That's why he fought. Now there's a man who understood the big picture. He understood the big picture. And that is that none of us gets out of here alive. What counts is whether or not our children are free. That's all that counts.
Hey, welcome back. Son of a gun, that guy was trying to be positive too. Maybe I should try it. No, okay, that was Stuart Rhodes, the founder and spokesperson of The Oath Keepers. If you want to learn more about them, they're at www.oath. Not slash, but, you know, the other one, you know. Oathkeepers.blogspot. Very nice, very nice. Okay, let's move on to another article. This comes to us from globalresearch.ca, published May 23rd. This is by Andrew Hughes, and the title is called America's Nightmare, the Obama Dystopia. Manipulation, propaganda, imagery, and PR wizardry. This doesn't sound... It's not looking good for Obama, it sounds like here. Let's see what Andrew Hughes has to say. After 8 years of the Bush-Cheney nightmare, during which we saw the wanton destruction of Afghanistan and Iraq, the cynical negation of centuries of law designed to protect the most basic human rights, and a foreign policy worthy of Genghis Khan. There came along the great black hope in the persona of Barack Obama. The collective world consciousness turned uncritically to what was presented as a new era of peace, change, and trust in government. Never before had one witnessed such an accomplished use of manipulation, propaganda, imagery, and public relations wizardry to sell the public a man who was to take the baton from Bush and run with it in the race to destroy the economy, the rights of the people, and help birth a nation totally controlled by those who have always lurked in the shadows of power. Change was promised and was delivered in the form of a deepening of the already dystopic nightmare. Promises were broken with no apology. The same creative legalese that infested the Bush administration in the form of Yu and Alberto Gonzalez was again used to deny justice to the inmates of Guantanamo. It was used to justify more torture, more destruction of the Constitution, and more illegal surveillance of U.S. citizens. The president that extended the hand of peace to the Muslim world has murdered hundreds of Pakistani men, women, and children. The president who promised accountability in government has filled his staff with lobbyists, banksters, and warmongers. His attorney general refuses to prosecute some of the worst war crimes committed in modern history and continues to give legal cover to criminals who tortured with impunity. the country has been further bankrupt by the continuing theft of taxpayer money as the Wall Street campaign donors receive their quid pro quo. Obama has stood by as the private reserve stated it is not answerable to either Congress or the American public. The U.S. taxpayer is now on the hook for $14.3 trillion and rising. Foreclosures and unemployment are rising with no meaningful efforts by the administration to alleviate the symptoms, never mind the cause. The new image of America is one of tent cities, lengthening soup kitchen lines, and sheriffs evicting countless thousands of young and old from their homes. Once prosperous towns descending to an eerie stillness in an increasingly disillusioned populace. Again, we're listening to Andrew Hughes from globalresearch.ca. The war on terrorism, or war of terrorism as I call it, has mutated into a control grid for an increasingly aware population. The foundation for this had already been put in place by Bush with the Patriot Act, Patriot Act II, the Military Commissions Act, and numerous executive orders that strangled what was left of Posse Comitatus and the Constitution. Homeland Security now defines terrorists as those who believe in the Constitution, the First, Second, and Fourth Amendments. Returning veterans are being targeted for a denial of their Second Amendment rights. A terrorist watch list of more than a million and rapidly growing is being used as the basis for denying citizens the right to travel and to work. Yes, indeed. Who is it? Dave Von Kleist. He says, if you're not on that list, what's the matter with you? Get your thing together and try to fight back. All right, continuing. Obama is now mulling over the idea of indefinite detention without trial for U.S. citizens. Actually, that links really nicely to an audio piece I'm going to be playing about the 16-year-old kid who was taken from his family and, hasn't been returned, and it doesn't look good at all. This stuff is happening. Okay, Obama is now mulling over the idea of indefinite detention without trial for U.S. citizens. This from a teacher of the Constitution. Bills are in Congress to criminalize free speech on the Internet via the Cyberbullying Act, which will make hurting someone's feelings a felony. Just like the Patriot Act, this will morph into a criminalization of political free speech and any criticism of the government. Cyber terrorism is being used as a pretext to bring government regulation to the last stronghold of unbiased information. That's the Internet, of course. Washington has realized that it's getting harder to get away with their fascist agenda and are moving to control the field. The populace have become more aware of just what kind of change Obama intended to deliver. There has been a growing resistance on a state level, with several invoking their 9th and 10th Amendment rights in a valiant attempt to stop the federal vampire from draining the last drops of blood, the last vestiges of freedom and hope. Final paragraph to conclude this piece. This is the dystopic nightmare that America finds itself in today, and each day brings new assaults on freedom and sanity. The framework for total control of the citizenry, the economy, and the media is being built upon in a relentless growth of governmental power. Obama sits atop his new empire still smiling that sickeningly disingenuous smile, surrounded by his seasoned courtiers who have worked for decades to bring America into this new era of the New World Order. Not bad, not bad. That was Andrew Hughes, America's Nightmare. That's at globalresearch.ca. This Obama, I'm not kidding you, man. You can't be falling for this stuff. I mean, do you really think that there's a difference between the Republicans or the Democrats or the conservatives and the liberals? Of course not. Of course not. That's just not possible. That's just that smokescreen. That is a constructed television reality, as I call it. Okay, well, let's move on to an audio piece here, and then what are we going to do? Well, I'll do a couple of station ads after that. So this next audio piece is from a TV news station, WRAL, Channel 5. I don't know what state they're in, but they're talking about the U.S. Is using the Patriot Act against its own citizens, and I believe that this is the end of due process. And it is all about secrecy. That seems to be the name of the game. So let's listen to that. Then we'll come back with some station IDs and other fun stuff like that. Okay, friends, hang in there. This is the Unbought and Unbossed show on CHLY 101.7.
Imagine if your family was awakened in the middle of the night by a team of federal officers. Well, that's exactly what happened to a woman and her children in Granville County.
Amanda Lamb is in the newsroom joining us now. And Amanda, we understand that because this case falls under the Patriot Act, a lot of the usual rights for defendants not available here.
That's right, David. The Patriot Act was created after 9/11. It allows federal agents to investigate suspected cases of terrorism swiftly in order to better protect our country. But one Granville County mother says it gives the federal government too much leeway. Her son was taken into federal custody 2 months ago. She can't get him out, and she can't get any answers. 16-year-old Ashton Lundeby's bedroom is nothing if not patriotic. American flags everywhere. But according to the United States government, this 10th grader, who has never been in trouble with the law before, is now a suspected terrorist.
I was terrified. There were guns, and I don't like guns around my children. I don't believe in guns.
On March 5th, around 10 o'clock in the evening, Annette Lundeby says 10 armed FBI agents, along with 3 local officers, stormed her home looking for her son. They handcuffed him and presented her with a search warrant.
They said that he was being arrested for making numerous bomb threat.
Annette Lundeby told the officers that someone stole her son's IP address and used it to make crank calls through the internet, making it look like the calls had originated from her home. She says the FBI's extensive search of her home turned up nothing.
No bomb-making materials, not even a blasting cap, not even a wire, I don't even know how to make bombs, but they didn't find anything.
The teenager was taken to a juvenile facility in Indiana, where the bomb threat was supposedly made. His mother has had little access to him since his arrest. She says the Patriot Act stripped her son of his right to due process.
And we have no right under the Patriot Act to even defend them, because the Patriot Act supersedes the Constitution.
There's nothing a matter of public record. All those normal rights are just suspended in the air.
Dan Boyce is a former U.S. attorney.
It's a new law, and I'm sure there were very, very good intentions.
But Boyce believes the Patriot Act has gone too far in some cases, and Ashton Lundeby's may just be one of them.
It very well could be a case of overreaction where an agent leapt to certain conclusions or has made certain assumptions about this individual and about how serious the threat really is.
Because there is a gag order in the case, the U.S. attorney in Indiana told us he could not comment, nor could the FBI. The North Carolina Highway Patrol did confirm they assisted the FBI with its operation at the Lundeby home on March 5th.
Never in my worst nightmare did I ever think that it would be my own government that I would have to protect my children from. This is the United States, and I feel like I live in a third world country now.
Lundeby says this type of case is not what the Patriot Act was intended for. Boyce agrees.
It was to protect the public. But what we need to do is make sure there are checks and balances to make sure those new laws are not abused.
Know that they can come and take anyone in your family away even your children. And you, they don't have to be guilty.
Linda B. says her son is scheduled to have a hearing at the end of May, but she is not hopeful it will happen because the date has already been moved multiple times. And we will continue to follow this story. David?
Amanda Lamb, thank you.
Yes, indeed. CHLY, that is what you're listening to. And this is the Unbought and Unbossed show. I got a song for you right now. It's called The New Pearl Harbor. This is John Kellerman. Enjoy. Very nice, very nice. That is called the New Pearl Harbor, John Kellerman. A lot of questions in that song. Well done, well done. Okay, I'm moving on to a new heavy, Daniel Estulin. Some of you might call him a conspiracy theorist, but he might call himself an agenda analyst. Yes, indeed. We're going to be talking about the Bilderberg. They met this month in near Athens, Greece. Daniel Estulin has a very popular book. It's been translated into maybe a dozen languages, maybe more by now. It's called The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. A couple of websites, danielestulin.com, and I believe he even has one for his book just called The Bilderberg Book. So you can try those two. This audio piece comes to us from the Corbett Report at CorbettReport.com, and it's a fine interview. So this is nearly 10 minutes, and it covers a lot of topics. And well done to these guys. I think you're going to enjoy this. This is, taken from earlier this month. So here we are, Daniel Estulin on the Bilderberg meeting of 2009. Interviewed on the Corbett Report. Okay, we'll see in a little while.
Well, then let's get to what your sources are telling you about this year's conference. We talked to veteran Bilderberg reporter Jim Tucker last week, and his sources are indicating that exploiting the swine flu hysteria to implement world health controls might be one item on this year's agenda, and continuing the economic crash and using that to further the North American Union might be another key topic discussed. But what are you hearing about this year's topic?
Well, my points are concrete. One of them is the future of the U.S. dollar, the American economy. The plan is for the Bilderberg Group players, through their allies in Washington and Wall Street, to continue to deceive millions of savers and investors who believe the hype about the supposed upturn in the economy. They're about to be set up for massive losses. And searing financial pain in the months ahead. The famous or infamous bank stress test now being conducted by Washington, a little more than a shameless hoax based on the irrational assumption that the economy won't get as bad as it already is or as it will get very, very shortly. Point number two is U.S. unemployment solutions and assumptions. This is exactly how it is stated in the pre-meeting booklet sent out to the attendees. Bilderberg is quietly assuming that the American unemployment figures will hover around 14% by the end of this year, far higher than the official numbers released by the American government, which is about 8.5% or 9% at present. And another point concerning the United States, depression or a prolonged stagnation, question mark. Again, this is how it is stated in the pre-meeting booklet sent out to the attendees a couple of weeks back. Bilderberg is looking at two options, either a prolonged, agonizing depression that dooms the world to decades of stagnation, decline, and poverty, or an intense but shorter depression that paves the way for a new sustainable economic world order with less sovereignty but more efficiency. And finally, as far as the key point, not directly affecting the United States but indirectly, there'll be a final push for the enactment of Lisbon Treaty, which is an official European constitution, pending on Irish voting yes finally on the third try for the treaty in September, October. Again, they voted no several times, which again stopped the European Constitution from being put into becoming law. And now so what they've done is they've renamed it stealthily Lisbon Treaty, which is basically the same thing. Now, the Irish vote yes will have, we in Europe will have a European constitution which takes precedence over national constitutions in times of crisis. Now, one of the Bilderberg concerns is addressing and neutralizing the anti-Lisbon treaty movement called Libertas, led by Declan Ganley. This is the man who is responsible for the Irish voting no the last time. One of the Bilderberg plan moves is to use a whispering campaign in the United States media suggesting that Ganley is being funded by arms dealers in the United States linked to the United States military and to the American militia movement.
Right. Well, there are a number of things I'd like to pick up on from that, but thinking about the prolonged recession and depression versus the short, painful, searing economic change, we understand from your reporting and the reporting of others on the Bilderberg Group over the years that there are factions within Bilderberg, and it's not a monolithic entity like in the Iraq War run-up. So what are your sources telling you about the possibility that there are factions shaping up along, I suppose, Bilderberg party lines on these issues?
Well, I think, first of all, a bit of a background to the world situation as it stands. Some people think we're in a recession. Those who think that, are complete idiots. It's not only not a recession or even a depression, but we're living right now a general global breakdown crisis of the economy of the entire planet. And as long as the present structure of the economy in the United States, in Europe, and elsewhere continues, the world is going more and more deeply into a general breakdown crisis, which will probably result in the elimination within a generation or two max of two-thirds of the present level of the world's population. That is a reduction from 6.7 billion today to about 2 billion a short time from now. And, of course, having that as a background, yes, obviously there are factions within Bilderberg. There are factions actually who are pushing for nuclear energy within Bilderberg, realizing that this is the only way we can stave off this, destruction of the human species. Of course, if you actually use the nuclear energy and if you put it to good use, you're talking about the population jump up to 10 billion people, so there's a lot of members of Bilderberg who are looking at alternatives to the oil, obviously driven economy. And as far as the breakdown crisis itself is concerned, well, in a collapse, a lot of things can happen, and there are a lot of unknowns. And these are the unknowns that scare and frighten some of the more savvier members of the Bilderberg inner circle, who are just wondering how far, they've gone to actually not only destroy the world, but perhaps even destroy themselves. And I think these are some of the things they'll be talking about at this year's meeting.
So the question is whether they could even control how this collapse is going to play out if things have not gotten that so bad already that they're going to just...
I personally think they've lost control to a great extent. Just to how far of an extent they've lost this control remains to be seen. But again, you're witnessing things in Europe, in the United Kingdom, where the economy is dead. In Canada and the United States, where, of course, again, we're not living in depression, but a collapse of civilization as we know it. So it just remains to be seen just how much or little control they actually have. And we will know a lot more, especially after tomorrow's session, where they'll be talking, I think it's tomorrow afternoon session, where they'll be talking about the economic situation in the world.
Well, then another point you raised earlier in the talking points for this year's conference is the Lisbon Treaty and the vote that's coming up in Ireland this fall. It seems to indicate that, in fact, the no vote was a big setback for Bilderberg. Just to what extent do you think the people actually have the power to stop the Bilderberg agenda?
Well, as far as the voting in the European Constitution, zero. What they've done is any country that had a choice of, in any country where people had a chance to vote, they voted down, such as in France and in the Netherlands. So what they've done, they've taken the voting power out of people's hands and they've put it into the legislative branch. And in Germany, for example, it was the Bundestag that voted for the European Constitution, and so was in Prague in the Czech Parliament. In smaller, obviously, ex-Soviet republics such as Lithuania, Latvia, etc., needless to say that the people and the government, everybody voted yes because they want to form part of Europe as opposed to forming part of what once was the Soviet Union. But in countries such as Holland and France, the vote was a no, a resounding no, which of course was the first big stop in the delivery of plans or chink of their armor. And then of course the Irish voting no was the second. And now what they need to do one way or another is get this Lisbon Treaty approved, because again, it basically puts all the countries under the mechanisms and the control of bureaucrats whose names most of us have never seen or heard of.
Well, that's right. As the Bilderberg agenda unfolds and the veil is pulled back from the democratic process that we once believed in, obviously it's being exposed that the democratic process itself is fundamentally flawed and that the Obama administration isn't going to save us, as some people used to think. So what do you think is the most effective way for the people as a whole to rise up against the Bilderberg agenda?
I think there's only really one way. You know, years back, one way is through money, the only way. Years back, about 12 or 13 years ago, I found one of the Bilderberger reports, a phrase which I didn't quite understand at the time, like I was just getting into this whole Bilderberger thing. It said demand destruction. It took me about 7 or 8 years to come back to this phrase because I saw it again, I think, early 2002 in one of the CFR reports, and then I saw it again in Club of Rome report, and then Bilderbergers talked about it in Chantilly in 2002. And by then I had established a close working relationship with someone who for years was an important member of the World Bank. So I asked this individual, I said, what does it mean, demand destruction? He said to me, how do you destroy demand? I said, well, war is a good way. He said, much easier than war. You destroy demand by destroying the world economy on purpose, which is what we're witnessing right now, destruction of the world economy on purpose. Because I think people have to understand, you know, that the monetary and the banking crisis and the housing crisis, it's not just, you know, happened on a whim. It's not that it just happened. It was very much thought out because you and I obviously understand that the Rockefeller and Company, who know a lot more about money than we do not lend money at zero interest, zero down, to people who have absolutely no way of ever paying it back unless there's a reason for it, or unless the basic economics of, you know, and the physics of economics has been reversed, and suddenly the taxi drivers know more about the economy and money than the Rockefellers of this world. So again, the only way we can destroy them is understanding how money works. This is what my friend at the World Bank told me. If you want to do good, understand how money works and how, through using money the right way, we can wipe them out. If everybody went to the bank today and withdrew their cash, we would destroy the world financial system. Of course, nobody would do that.
Hey, welcome back. That was Daniel Estulin speaking with the Corbett Report on Bilderberg 2009. A lot of topics in there. Hope you enjoyed that. Okay, let's move on to the campus community events update. All right, well, let's leave it at that. We've been listening to John Lennon, I Don't Want to Be a Soldier, from his Imagine CD. Well done, John. Thank you. Who's sponsoring that campus community event update? Well, it's our good friends at warcriminalsout.com, Edmonton 9/11 Truth, as well as Fraser Valley 9/11 Truth. Very nice. Those are groups that put out the big $150 to get their name mentioned every week, to say that they support independent radio stations like this one. So good for them. Where are we going to go now? We got about, 9:25-ish. Okay, let's move on to talking to an economist. And this piece came from therealnews.com. My buddy, who sent this one out to me? It was Terry. Terry, thanks, Terry. I'm on his email list. So this is talking with economist Richard Wolff. And what the topic is about is that, retired as well as current and future auto workers will be handed the risks and likely the losses due to this contrived consolidation of the auto industry. And the ideas discussed in this following audio piece, to me, is just more evidence that suggests that this economic collapse has been engineered. Yeah, you know, what used to be good-paying jobs are no longer good-paying jobs. The benefits are going to be gone, and that's real unfortunate, but if it seems to fit a pattern, doesn't it? We're getting rid of the middle class, aren't we? Okay, well, let's listen to that. And again, therealnews.com is a place that I suggest you save in your favorites when you want to read the newspaper on the internet. That's a good place to go. And okay, I'll be back after that. So thanks for hanging out with your radio and myself tonight. My name's Raymond. I'm the host. I've got a website where I archive my shows. If you'd like to catch a past show, for example, former MI5 turned whistleblower Annie Michon was one of my interviews last week. That was a fantastic episode. She's doing a Canadian lecture tour right now, and good for her. And it was a fantastic interview. So if you missed that one, that's one I would suggest. Oh, well, let me give you the web address. I always I say I got one. I always forget to give you the address. It's at www.unbossed, UNBOSSED, unbossed.livejournal.com. There you go. So, yeah, you can find out what was on this show, and I'll have lots of links to the things that I played and talked about and read from. So there we go. That's what that's about. So let's move on to Richard Wolff, an economist, on therealnews.com. Here we go.
Welcome to the Real News Network, coming from our Sorta studio in New York City. Days away, President Obama has asked the auto industry to come up with a plan to restructure, and rumors are flying what it will be. Bits of the plan have been released, much of which includes the UAW, the Auto Workers Union, taking a significant ownership place in both General Motors and Chrysler. To help us understand what's happening, we're joined by Richard Wolff. He teaches economics at the New School in New York City. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So give us an update. What seems to be the plan?
Well, the plan is for the various stakeholders all to make a contribution, a sacrifice, if you will. The foreign owners of Chrysler, for example, the Mercedes-Benz folks would be willing to give up their share, which they have done. The Fiat Corporation of Italy has to be willing to merge with the what's left of Chrysler, which they've agreed to do. The unions have to give all kinds of concessions. That's probably the biggest thing, which the unions have now agreed to do. And really the only sticking point left, if all of this goes through, is that the bondholders, the people that have lent money to General Motors and Chrysler, will they be willing to do their share in the sacrifices to make this work? And that's not yet clear. If they refuse, as many of them claim they will, then the only option will be a formal bankruptcy.
Now, who are the bondholders?
Well, there are both large bondholders, some of the biggest banks in the United States, Citibank.
So, same people who have been getting all this bailout money.
Absolutely. But there are also, and they've, by the way, agreed, they've made their deals. But many of the smaller banks that also lent money over the years, they are in more difficulty. They haven't gotten the big bailouts from Washington, and they are very hesitant to make a deal because they stand to lose a great deal if they don't get the kind of payoff for these bonds that they are expecting. They have the right, as things now stand, to refuse, and then the deal can't go through. If they refuse, at least that's the way it plays out now.
And then in theory they could then push the both companies, Chrysler and GM, into bankruptcy, and then a bankruptcy judge could put everything on the table, including more concessions from the workers.
Right. Basically the workers, the vast majority of people who have an immediate stake in the outcome, are the ones who have been told, basically, take this deal with all of the cost to you and all the danger to you, because if you don't, there'll be bankruptcy and it'll probably go worse for you. So even though this is, as I can explain, a very bad thing for the workers, the alternative, they've been persuaded, is even worse.
So why is this a bad thing for the workers?
Well, I'll give you some examples. For both GM and Chrysler, a huge portion of the monies that they were, that both companies were bound to contribute to maintain the health care of both current and retired workers, huge portion, roughly half in both cases, is now not going to be contributed. instead, the two companies are going to give their largely worthless shares to the health fund, which means that the ability of the health fund to take care of people for the rest of their lives in terms of their medical needs are now going to be a question of gambling in the stock market. It's almost as if Medicare and Medicaid, instead of being guaranteed by the government, were invested in stocks, and your ability to get paid off if you have a bad operation will now depend on the stock market's up and down. It's an extraordinary gamble on the health of an enormous number, hundreds of thousands of American workers.
Now, if I understand it correctly, what's been coming out in the press, the UAW is actually going to wind up owning something like 55% of Chrysler and 37% in those General Motors with the government.
That's right. In the case of Chrysler, the United States government will have a piece, the Fiat Corporation will have a piece, and the unions health fund will have a piece, or the union directly will have a piece. The numbers are a little different for General Motors, but it's the same basic idea, except in General Motors' case, the workers will not have a majority of the shares. They'll have a minority of the shares, so they'll have less power. But yes, the workers get a chance, therefore, to name somebody on the board of directors, maybe more than one person, and they'll have some control like that. But it's a little strange to get the control of a company that is 1 millimeter from disintegration. It's not that clear what they're going to be able to do. They will continue to be dependent on the federal government and on creditors in a way that will give whoever is on the board of directors very little wiggle room.
And as you said, it's gambling the health care plan on the idea that these companies are going to start to sell cars. But if the issue of purchasing power, not only of the workers working at the plants, but of everybody else, if nothing changes in the economy and people still can't afford cars, then what is, this has all become a kind of smoke and mirrors then.
Oh, it's worse than that. Let me give you an example, because this business of not paying money into the health fund that you were contractually obliged to give and substituting shares of the company, that's not the only concession that the unions made. They made many more. In the case of Chrysler, they're going to do away with overtime pay under many circumstances. They're going to take away the dental and the vision care that used to be provided to retirees. But perhaps most important, there are other such things, vacation pay is being cut back. But the biggest one is an increase in the number of workers that can be newly hired at much lower wages.
These are the $14 an hour guys.
The average, the statistic everybody uses is that the average pay for a reasonably, with some longevity worker at an auto plant is about $28 an hour. The agreement for new hires is to pay them $14, 50% less. And the unions have agreed not only to do that, that's already been going on for 2 or 3 years, but they've now agreed in this new arrangement to allow a larger percentage of people to be at this low rate, new workers. What this has meant, and this has been going on for years, is that GM and Chrysler have created many programs basically pushing older workers out. And the reason they push the older workers out is they can replace them now with much cheaper, 50% cheaper new workers who are earning $14 an hour. For your listeners and your viewers, it might be interesting for you to know that if you work 40 hours a week and you get in the neighborhood of 14 hours, you're earning about $30,000 a year. You can't send your kids to college on $30,000 and you can't buy an expensive car. And that's where your point comes in. This ratcheting down of the wage level of the American worker means that the company that needs to sell more cars is taking the lead in reducing wages in America, because many other companies will follow suit, that precisely prevents Americans from buying the cars. So there is an internal contradiction that this Obama program does not address, and in fact will make it unlikely to succeed.
Hey, how you doing? Oh, there's a little bit of Obama talk at the end of that. Okay, that was Richard Wolff, an economist, speaking with the fine folks at TheRealNews.com. Okay, let's move on to an audio piece again. This is a kind of a treat for me. I'm used to doing a lot of interviews, and it's not too often that it's been quite a few weeks that I've just done audio pieces, so this is kind of fun. Some of these I've been saving up, and other ones are new ones, and... Okay, let's move on to a recent movie I purchased a movie online of a recent David Icke lecture, and for whatever reason, someone backed out of the deal, and the movie did, the lecture presentation did not happen. And they said, "Well, we'll tell you what, we'll send you two DVDs." And I said, "Okay, I'll take the two DVDs." And they are both on a subject that I'm have a lot of new interest in, and it's the 2012 phenomenon of these prophecies of well, many ancient civilizations. In many cases, their calendars suggest that something is going to be happening. We're going to be shifting into a new dimension, a new consciousness, perhaps at the winter solstice. Is it summer solstice, winter? Oh, shit. The one in December in 2012. So these movies, they were both directed by Sharon Rose. First one in 2006, it was called 2012 The Odyssey. And then 2 years later, she came back with Time Wave 2013. And I was really impressed with the second one because I feel it corrected some of the problems that I had with it in the first one, in which it kind of felt as if everyone, you and I, were equally to blame for the problems that we're experiencing on the planet level, and I don't think that that is accurate. I think that is a very select few that have been manipulating and controlling our economies to, you know, create the pollution and, well, just pollution of in every sense. So in the second one, that didn't seem to be a focus at all. Another thing, in the first one, the very likelihood that extraterrestrials have been paying very close attention to our special little planet, this wonderful green and blue planet that we have, that we're sitting on right now, were not mentioned at all, nor are they in the second one. And I'm not too sure why that is. There's such... commanding evidence by so many people that, well, there are extraterrestrials and UFOs that are flying around us, paying great attention to us. And one of the things that I find so fascinating about this is a little piece of evidence that might help you sway your mind if you think this is kind of silly talk. Well, the United States government, basically up until Roswell, which I think was 47, said that they were very much interested in this UFO thing that all the fighter pilots in World War II were talking about. And, well, then all of a sudden this Roswell thing happened, and guess what? The official stance by the American government and military did a 180-degree about-face and said, nope, there's nothing there, case closed, go back to sleep, folks. Everything is just fine. And that's just one example that is quite fascinating to me. But that really doesn't have anything to do with this Sharon Rose production. One of the authors you're going to hear in the middle section of this piece is Terence McKenna. And he's a fantastic fellow. I just ordered a book from Faulkner Books in downtown Nanaimo at Port Place Mall. He's an independent book seller, and I like to support the independent small fellow when I can, so I order all my books through Faulkner's, and I think it'd be a good idea that you did that too. So, let's move on to this time wave. 2013, Sharon Rose is the director of this piece. So I think this is a little bit off topic from what I normally talk about, but I think that you'll enjoy this and give it a listen and find out. So we'll be back with you in about 5 minutes. Okay, friends, be well.
We are heading toward a singularity in history in which yesterday looks...
Actually, I'm going to pause this for a second. I realize that the audio is a little bit scratchy, but it's only in the beginning. So if you're going, oh man, what a bad recording, it does get better. So stay tight, guys, and hang with me on this one.
It's nothing like today, and today looks nothing like tomorrow at all.
Almost universally, ancient texts and traditions say that we're preparing for 1,000 years of a peaceful coexistence in this world. And that sometimes our greatest strengths become apparent when we face the greatest challenges together.
In the small town of Elberton, Georgia, stands a mysterious monument built in 1980 by an anonymous gentleman named R.C. Christian. The Georgia Guidestones contain a message for the people of the future, describing a new way to live. For some, it is a message of hope. For others, a message of fear. Every year, millions of people pass by the murals at the Denver airport. These murals seem to be telling us a story about the choices we must face as we look towards the future. In the small town of Hendaye in the south of France, there is an ancient monument describing the events that will occur at the end of our age. In Azapa, Guatemala, the early Mayan people left behind their long count calendar, which told of a day when the fifth sun will end and the sixth sun will begin. According to this calendar, the shift of the ages will occur on December 21st, 2012. The Caro people of Peru believe that we are now going through a time of purification. They have a prophecy called Pachacuti, which speaks of a time when the Inca will return and a new human will be born. The prophecies say that this will happen in 2012.
The singularity that arises for no reason in absolutely empty space instantly is the least likely of all singularities. The Big Bang is the notion that the universe, for no reason, sprang from nothing in a single instant. Notice that this is the limit test for credulity. That it is not possible to conceive of something more unlikely or less likely to be believed. That the universe would spring from nothing in a single instant for no reason, it makes no sense. It is in fact no different than saying, "And God said, let there be light." What the philosophers of science are saying is, give us one free miracle, and we will roll from that point forward, from the birth of time to the crack of doom. Doesn't it seem more likely, if we have to have a singularity, that it occurs in a domain with a rich history, with many causal streams feeding into the situation that nurtures the complexity? In other words, to put it simply, if you have to have a singularity, doesn't it make more sense to put it at the end of a cosmogonic process than at the beginning?
My inquiry into the end date of the Mayan long count calendar took me to Peru. Because of the protection of the high altitude of the Andes Mountains, the Caro, or Inca people, are one of the last indigenous peoples of the Americas whose ancient traditions are not only still intact, but alive and breathing. The Caro escaped the Spanish conquest by moving into the high Andes, where they have lived for over 500 years. They speak little or no Spanish and still retain the beliefs and customs that have been passed down for many generations. The Caro have an ancient prophecy concerning the return of Pachacuti, their great leader from before the conquest. Pachacuti, which means the turning over of the earth, also left behind a prophecy. In this prophecy, he said that this age of conquest and domination would come to an end. A new human would be born, and the earth would be restored to its former beauty and grace. The Caro say that the return of Pachacuti is scheduled for 2012.
All right, there we go. So that's the opening of this movie, Time Wave 2013. Again, we were listening to Sharon Rose with Terrence McKenna in the center there. And actually, she concludes her movie with another audio piece by Terence McKenna. Fascinating fellow, that guy. Well, we're winding down on time, and I can't decide on which of the next two. I'm going to play one of the following. So maybe raise your hands if you want to hear something about Facebook, which it's basically you're voluntarily giving the government all your information, your secrets, your friends, your pictures, all that stuff. It is a surveillance tool. That's what Facebook is. You know, just like if you got a cell phone or a credit or a bank card, you know, you're being watched pretty carefully. Okay, so there's that one. And then the second one that you're going to choose between is, again, from a TV news coverage. So that would be the second TV news piece that I play, if I play it. And here I am criticizing TV news, and there's another one in the running to play tonight. This comes to us from Louisiana, and this news station covered chemtrails. And that's a very interesting thing. You know, is it possible that the government is poisoning us from planes, military planes, and dropping a bunch of toxic chemicals down on us? Okay, so raise your hand if you want to learn about Facebook. 2, 3, 4, 8, 12, okay. And if you want to hear another news piece talking about chemtrails and a whole bunch of toxic crap being dropped on us. Oh, a lot of hands went up for that one. Okay, very good. That's what we're going to hear. So we'll move on to Louisiana TV news station covering chemtrails. Very good. Okay. Thanks for your input on that one, and we'll be back in a minute.
Could a strange substance found by a Southwest Arkansas man be part of a government test? Well, that's the question at the heart of a phenomenon called chemtrails, now getting widespread attention. Well, tonight's Fayetteville News 12 investigation reporter Jeff Farrell shows us the results of testing we had done about what's in our skies.
It seemed like some mornings it was just crisscrossing the whole sky, and it was just like a giant checkerboard.
Bill Nichols snapped several photos of the strange clouds from his home in Stamps, Arkansas. They begin as normal contrails from a jet engine, but do not fade away like a normal contrail. Soon after, he saw particles in the air.
You know, because we'd see it drop to the ground in a haze.
Nichols then noticed the material collecting on the ground.
This is water and stuff that I collected in bowls. I had it set out in my backyard on my dad's pickup truck.
KSLA News 12 had the sample tested at a lab. The results? A high level of barium, 6.8 parts per million, more than three times the toxic level set by the EPA.
Armed with these lab results about the high levels of barium found in our sample, we decided to contact the Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality. They told us that, yes, these levels are very unusual, but at the same time, they added the caveat that proving the source is a whole other matter.
Barium is a hallmark of other chemtrail testing, which even attracted attention from a Los Angeles TV station. There's already no shortage of unclassified weather modification programs by the government. But those who fear chemtrails could be secret biological or chemical testing on the public point to the 1977 Senate hearings in particular, which confirmed 239 populated areas had been contaminated with biological agents between 1949 and 1969. Later, the 1994 Rockefeller Report concluded hundreds of thousands of military personnel were also subjected to secret biological experiments over the last 60 years. But could secret testing be underway yet again?
I'd rather it be something inert and benign, you know, something that's, you know, not causing any damage, but I'd like to know what it is.
KSLA News 12 discovered chemtrails are even mentioned by name in the initial draft of House Bill 2977 back in 2001 under the Space Preservation Act. But the military denies any such program exists. Jeff Farrell, KSLA News 12 reporting.
And, you know, it turns out until 9 years ago, the government had the right under U.S. law to conduct secret testing on the American public under specific conditions. Only a public outcry repealed part of that law, with some exceptions.
Jeff's report mentioned high levels of barium linked to those alleged chemtrails. We wanted to find out exactly what effects barium has on the body. We spoke with Mark Ryan, the director of the Poison Control Center. Ryan tells KSLA News 12 that short-term exposure can lead to anything from stomach to chest pains. Long-term exposure causes blood pressure problems. Ryan addressed concerns by chemtrail researchers that barium could be meant to wear down a person's immune system.
Anything that causes ill effects in the body long-term, chronically, is going to affect your ability because it's constantly working on the body. So from that aspect, yeah, it's a potential.
Brian says he's conducted research on his own about secret government testing on the public, but he's still a bit skeptical about the alleged chemtrails, at least at the moment, because the Poison Control Center has seen no calls about exposure to barium.
Okay, there it is. A piece on chemtrails, and a caller did call in and said, I want to hear about the chemtrails. So there you go. Let's see. We're just about out of time. I think I'm going to put on a couple song tracks to conclude the show. And the way I conclude my opening little monologue there, I say that the revolution has begun. I suggest you find your role. However, Gil Scott-Heron wants to remind you that the revolution will not, I repeat, will not be televised.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Shag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Four Parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading the charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem Sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbilly, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
I hacked the Pentagon for self-incriminating evidence of Republican manufactured white powder pestilence, Marine Corps flak vest with the guns and ammo, spitting bars like a demon stuck inside a piano, turn a Sambo into a soldier with just one line. So here's the truth about the system that effed up your mind. They gave Al-Qaeda $6 billion in 1989
when?
To 1992,
Ten?
And now the last chapters of revelations are coming true.
Woo!
And I know a lot of people find it hard to follow this, cause subliminal bigotry makes you hate my politics, but you act like America wouldn't destroy two buildings.
Whoa.
In a country that was sponsoring bombs dropped on our children. I was watching the towers, and though I wasn't the closest, I saw them crumble to the earth like they were full of explosives, and they thought nobody noticed the news report that they did about the bombs planted on the George Washington Bridge. Four non-Arabs arrested during the emergency, and then it disappeared from the news permanently. They dubbed the tape of Osama, and they said it was proof. Jealous of our freedom, I can't believe you bought that excuse. Rocking our motherfucking flag don't make you a hero. Zero. The devil crept into heaven. God overslept on the 7th. The new world order was born on September 11th. And just so conservatives don't take it to heart, I don't think Bush did it.
Why?
Because he isn't that smart.
Uh-huh.
He's just a stupid puppet taking orders on a cell phone from the same people that sabotage Senator Wellstone. The military industry got it popping and locking, looking for a way to justify the Wolfowitz doctrine. And as a matter of fact, Rumsfeld, now that I think back, without 9/11, you couldn't have a war in Iraq or a defense budget of world conquest proportions, kill freedom of speech, and revoke the right to abortion. Tax cut extortion, a blessing to the wealthy and wicked, but you still have to answer to the Armageddon you scripted. And Dick Cheney, you fucking leech, why don't you tell him your plans about putting your pipelines through Afghanistan and how Israeli troops train the Taliban in Pakistan. You might have some house niggas fooled, but I understand. Colonialism is sponsored by corporations. That's why Halliburton gets paid to rebuild nations.
Whoa.
Tell me the truth. I don't scare into paralysis. I know the CIA saw Bin Laden on dialysis
when?
In 98 when he was top 10 for the FBI. Government ties is really why the government lies. Read it yourself instead of asking the government why.
Because
then the cause of death will cause the propaganda to die.
Okay, very nice. You got a second one in there. That was the cause of death, the freestyle, with Immortal Technique. Fantastic. And of course, that first one was Gil Scott-Heron. The revolution will not be televised. I'm going to leave you with one more 9/11 themed song. This is Bin Laden. That's the name of it. It's by DJ Green Lantern and Def Moss with Eminem in there a little bit as well. So this is going to be it for the show tonight. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in. What else do I want to say? Be out, be well out there, peace and love, and let's make a difference, and let's do it. All right, everyone, be well out there.
Good evening again. The CIA today weighed in on one of the issues Vice President Dick Cheney and Senator John Edwards spent time hotly debating last night in Cleveland. But first, standing by the White House, we have Suzanne Melvo. Suzanne?
I understand today President Bush insisted that Saddam Hussein was a threat to the U.S. and to the world. It's the centerpiece of his re-election campaign. He made the right decision to go to war with Iraq, and that he is the one he believes who's fit to be commander-in-chief for the war on terror.
Man, you hear this bullshit they be talking? Every day, man, it's like these motherfuckers is just like professional liars, you know what I'm saying? It's wild. Listen, Bin Laden didn't blow up projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Nigga, fuck the president. Leeches, I'm baptized by America and covered in leeches. The dirty water that bleaches your soul and your facial features, drowning you in propaganda that they fit through the speakers. And if you speak about the evil that the government does, the Patriot Act to track you to the type of your blood. They try to frame you and say you was trying to sell drugs. You throw a federal indictment on niggas to show you love. This shit is run by fake Christians, fake politicians. Look at their mansions and look at the conditions you live in. All they talk about is terrorism. The more television, they tell you to listen, but they don't really tell you the mission. They funded Al-Qaeda, and now they blame the Muslim religion. Even though Osama bin Laden was a CIA tactician. They gave him billions of dollars and they funded his purpose. Fahrenheit 9/11, that's the scratch of the surface.
Come on, come on.
Bin Laden blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Say the rebels in Iraq still fight the Saddam, but that's bullshit. I'll show you why it's totally wrong. Cause if another country invaded the hood tonight, it'll be warfare through Harlem and Washington Heights. I wouldn't be fighting for Bush or white American dream. I'd be fighting for my people's survival and self-esteem. I wouldn't fight for racist churches from the south, my nigga. I'll be fighting to keep the occupation out, my nigga. You ever clock someone who talk shit for looking too wrong? Imagine if they shot at you and was raping your moms. And of course Saddam Hussein had chemical weapons, we sold them that shit after Ronald Reagan's election. Mercenary contractors fighting a new era. Corporate military banking off the war on terror. They controlling the ghetto with the failed attack. Trying to distract the fact that they engineering the crack. So I'm strapped like Lee Malvo holding a sniper rifle. These bullets will touch your kids. And I don't mean like Michael. Your body is meant to the morgue, stripped down and recycled. I fire on house niggas that report you to life. You just innocent people get murdered in the struggle daily. And poor people never forget shit and struggle daily. This ain't no alien conspiracy theory. This shit is real. Written on a dollar underneath the Masonic seal.
Now I don't rap for dead presidents. I'd rather see the president dead. It's never been said, but I set precedence.
Bin Laden blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth.
City records, 80 seconds away from the towers. Them cowards fought with the wrong building. They missed the hill.